Imagine discovering that the digital lock on the front door of the entire internet has just been completely broken for like 15 years.
Oh, yeah, just wide open.
Right. And the only reason anyone finally noticed it is because a machine pointed it out.
It's wild to think about.
It really is. So welcome to today's deep dive. Today is Sunday, July 12, 2026, and we have a seriously fascinating stack of sources in front of us today.
We really do.
Yeah, it's all anchored by this comprehensive report. It's titled Tech Energy, Sunday Morning Global Industry Analysis. And, you know, our mission today is to connect the dots between six massive tech stories making headlines right now that honestly seem completely separate.
Right, because on the surface, you're looking at a corporate lawsuit, a huge Bitcoin sell-off, a cybersecurity alert.
Exactly. They look like entirely different genres of news.
Yeah.
But when you put them all together, they reveal this monumental shift in the balance of power across the entire digital world.
A total paradigm shift, yeah.
Yeah. We are looking at these fierce power struggles between giant corporations, the rapidly blurring line between human and machine capability.
Which is moving faster than anyone predicted.
Totally. And the growing tension between these massive tech behemoths and, well, you, the everyday consumer.
Because every single one of these stories fundamentally changes who has control over our digital lives. I mean, it's a real-time diagnostic look at a landscape that is shifting right under our feet.
It's dictating who builds the infrastructure of the future.
Right. Right. Who secures it, and ultimately, who actually owns the assets that live on it.
Okay, let's unpack this. Mm-hmm. Because we are going to look at everything from that deeply hidden 15-year-old code flaw we mentioned to a lone Brazilian gamer taking on Microsoft in court.
That's a great story, by the way.
It's incredible. And we're doing this just to figure out what it all means for you. So let's start right at the top of the corporate food chain.
Makes sense.
To understand who is going to be building our digital future, we have to look at the highest level of power struggles in Silicon Valley. Apple has officially sued OpenAI in California federal court for trade secret theft.
Yeah, and the mechanism of that alleged theft is what makes this, honestly, the potential legal battle of the century.
A century.
I mean it. Apple claims this happened through the systematic recruitment of their most vital employees. The Tech Energy report notes that over 400 former Apple employees have migrated from Cupertino up to OpenAI in San Francisco.
Okay, wait. I need to push back here a little bit.
Sure.
Tech workers jump ship all the time in Silicon Valley. I mean, it's practically a competitive sport at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
So why is Apple treating this like a federal crime rather than just, you know, standard employee turnover?
Well, what's fascinating here is the specific talent OpenAI is acquiring. We aren't talking about entry-level coders or middle management.
Right.
The lawsuit specifically names figures like Tang Tan. He's the former vice president of iPhone and Apple Watch product design.
Oh, wow. That's a heavy hitter.
Massive. And Chang Lu, a senior electrical engineer with deep experience in Apple's advanced processing systems. And Apple is alleging that OpenAI didn't just, you know, hire these specialists.
What did they do?
They allegedly actively encouraged them to bypass internal security protocols, avoid the digital monitoring systems, and exfiltrate proprietary trade information right before they walked out the door.
Jeez. And the ultimate goal for OpenAI here is hardware, right?
Exactly. Hardware is the holy grail.
Because rumors have been swirling that OpenAI is pushing hard into building their own dedicated AI hardware devices.
Yeah.
Potentially even partnering with Chinese manufacturers.
Right. They don't just want to provide the software model in the cloud anymore.
No, they want to build the physical device in your pocket. And Apple obviously sees this hardware ambition. And they were drawing a massive legal line in the sand.
They're essentially claiming OpenAI is fueling this new hardware division with knowledge incubated inside Apple's notoriously secretive labs.
But the irony of this whole situation is just, it's incredibly thick when you consider the broader relationship between these two companies right now.
Oh, the timing is unbelievable.
Right. Apple is dropping this massive federal lawsuit against OpenAI for stealing trade secrets at the exact same time. They are widely rumored to be finalizing a deal to integrate ChatGPT directly into iOS.
It is wild.
It's like hiring someone to cater your wedding while simultaneously suing them for stealing your grandmother's secret recipe.
That is a perfect analogy. It creates this wildly tense boardroom dynamic.
I can't even imagine those meetings.
Oh, they must be so awkward. Huh. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, this legal spat is a symptom of an unprecedented industry-wide talent war.
The AI boom, basically.
Yeah, AI's explosive growth has created a severe bottleneck, and that bottleneck is human brilliance. By early 2026, the average salary for a senior machine learning engineer in San Francisco pushed past $400,000 a year.
$400,000, that's just the average.
Just the average. Talent is the ultimate constraint on growth right now. So if Apple wins this lawsuit, it sets a massive legal precedent that could effectively lock down talent mobility between rival tech companies.
Because everyone would be too scared to hire someone from a competitor.
Exactly. But if OpenAI successfully defends itself, the floodgates open entirely, and aggressive, targeted recruitment of rival specialists just becomes the legally protected normal.
So that begs the question, why is OpenAI willing to risk the absolute wrath of Apple?
It's a huge risk.
Why invite a massive federal lawsuit just to stockpile hardware engineers? Well, it all comes down to following the money.
Always does.
The financial stakes in AI have grown so astonishingly large that they are eclipsing almost everything else in the tech world.
Yeah.
Even crypto.
Which is saying something.
Right. Let's look at Emperor Digital. They were, for all intents and purposes, a Bitcoin treasury company. Their entire corporate strategy was acquiring and holding Bitcoin.
Just hoarding it.
Yeah. But they just announced they sold off roughly half of their entire Bitcoin holdings to fund a massive AI data center project.
And the market rewarded them for it, which is the crazy part. Their stock actually went up after the announcement.
Wow.
Yeah. According to Goldman Sachs data in the industry analysis, AI infrastructure investment in 2026 hit $300
billion. $300 billion? With a B.
With a B. That is an 85% increase from just last year. When you compare that to corporate crypto investments, the $120 billion sitting in corporate crypto treasuries is entirely dwarfed by the sheer volume of capital flowing into AI physical infrastructure.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't this a massive gamble for a company like Emperor Digital?
It definitely looks like one on paper.
I mean, think about the fundamental difference between these two assets.
Yeah.
Holding Bitcoin is like burying gold in your backyard. Yes, the value is highly volatile, but the holding process is completely passive. You buy it, you secure it, you wait.
You do nothing.
But building an AI data center is like building a massive, highly complex industrial factory. You have active revenue coming in from people renting your compute power, sure. But you have to constantly buy the newest hardware.
The depreciation is brutal.
Right. You have to maintain server farms and pay astronomical energy bills just to stay competitive. It is a completely different overhead-heavy business model.
It is. But institutional investors are actively demanding that shift toward the factory model. They want active revenue generation, not just passive stores of value.
They want cash flow.
Exactly. The major shareholders at Emperor were aggressively pressuring the board to abandon the Bitcoin strategy, to the point of actually threatening a leadership change if they didn't pivot.
Wow, they're ready to clean house.
Yeah, because the demand for that factory output, which is computational power, is completely insatiable right now. Companies like Google, Meta, and OpenAI are locked in this fierce existential competition for compute to train their next generation models.
So they just need server space desperately.
Desperately. They are willing to pay massive premiums to rent infrastructure. So investors are looking at the landscape and deciding that the future belongs to the physical servers powering AI because it promises immediate, massive revenue streams that a passive crypto wallet simply cannot provide.
Okay, but that $300 billion pouring into infrastructure isn't just sitting there generating money.
No, it's doing work.
It's actively training systems that are now outperforming the very engineers who built them. Which brings us to the Linux story.
This one is terrifying.
Yep, really is. So Linux is the open source operating system that runs a massive portion of the world's servers. And human security researchers have been combing over Linux code for decades.
Some of the smartest people in the world.
Yeah. But an automated AI security testing system just found a complex root-level vulnerability in Linux that human researchers missed for 15 years.
And root-level access is a critical term to understand here.
Yeah, explain that for us.
Having root access in Linux is the equivalent of having the master key to an entire digital building. It means an attacker has complete, unrestricted control over the operating system.
So they can do whatever they want.
Anything. They could access any encrypted file, They could alter system logs to hide their tracks and install persistent malicious software without triggering a single alarm. And this specific bug was sitting in plain sight for a decade and a half.
I just don't get how something like that goes completely unnoticed by the best human minds in cybersecurity for 15 years.
It basically comes down to how humans process information versus how AI maps data. When a human researcher looks for a bug, they are typically reading code sequentially.
Like reading a book.
Right. They're looking for logic flaws or syntax errors line by line. It requires holding complex operational states in their working memory.
Which is hard to do.
Very hard. This specific vulnerability pattern was so convoluted, requiring multiple obscure conditions to be met across different parts of the system simultaneously, that a human brain simply couldn't hold the entire execution tree in its working memory to see the exploit.
But an AI doesn't have that limitation.
Not at all. An AI doesn't read sequentially. It maps the entire execution tree of the software simultaneously. It can spot a multi-step exploit across millions of lines of code because it processes the semantic patterns of the entire system all at once.
That's mind-blowing. Now, the Linux Foundation obviously rushed out a patch to fix it, which is a massive victory for automated defense.
A huge win, yes.
But if an AI can dig up a 15-year-old bug to help developers fix it, aren't bad actors just using their own AI systems to exploit those exact same bugs at superhuman speeds?
Oh, 100%. AI-based cyber attacks have increased by 200% in 2026 alone, precisely because of this capability.
200%.
Yeah. AI is completely automating the reconnaissance phase of a cyber attack. Historically, you know, a human hacker might take days or weeks to manually probe a network, identify its software versions, look for specific unpatched vulnerabilities.
It was a tedious process.
Very. Today, an AI can scan tens of thousands of targets, identify the one server running an outdated version of a software library, and deploy a customized exploit in a matter of hours.
Which we are seeing play out in real time right now with the Australian Cybersecurity Center.
AACSC, right.
Yeah. They just issued a critical alert regarding massive, highly coordinated campaigns attacking global CMS platforms. That's content management systems, like WordPress, which, by the way, powers over 40% of all websites on the internet.
And the attackers aren't just guessing admin passwords here.
No.
No, they are using automated systems to constantly scan the web, identifying sites that haven't updated their security patches, and infiltrating them through outdated plugins or old web themes.
So it's just a dragnet.
It's a numbers game executed with ruthless efficiency. The AI identifies the target, matches the known vulnerability to the outdated plugin, and executes the breach without any human intervention at all.
But is a basic barrier like a password even relevant anymore when automated systems are rattling every door handle on the internet at light speed?
Barely.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, trying to protect their own digital footprint?
Well, a password alone is no longer sufficient, which is why two-factor authentication, or 2FA, is absolutely critical now.
It's mandatory.
Pretty much. An AI system can brute force a weak password in seconds by running millions of combinations. But an AI cannot reach through the screen and physically tap the hardware key plugged into your laptop.
Right.
Or access the localized prompt on the mobile phone you hold in your hand. 2FA creates a physical air gap that breaks the automated attack chain.
Even if they have the password.
Exactly. Even if the AI steals your password through a data breach, the automated infiltration stops the second it requires physical verification.
So the margin for error is essentially gone. You need to update your CMS, update your web plugins, disable the ones you aren't actively using, and enforce two-factor authentication on every account that offers it.
Yeah.
You have to put up those physical roadblocks.
So for the average consumer, you know, the leverage in this digital dynamic is entirely one-sided right now.
Exactly. We have tech giants battling over the specialized talent, building the AI, billions of dollars funding the massive compute power, and these automated threats roaming the web at unprecedented speeds.
And the consumer is just caught in the middle.
Right. And as these corporations pour billions into infrastructure, they're desperately trying to guarantee a return on that investment by aggressively locking users into their ecosystems.
Which brings us to the telecom stuff.
Yeah, let's look at the mobile telecom market. The smartphone market is completely saturated. Almost everyone already has a device. So how do carriers generate new revenue?
Aggressive lock-in tactics.
Exactly. The industry analysis highlights T-Mobile, currently offering the new iPhone 17 and iPhone 17 Pro for quote-unquote free.
And free hardware in the telecom sector is never actually free.
Not even close.
It is a highly calculated customer acquisition cost.
Yeah, you get the phone without paying upfront, but the conditions are severe. You are locked into a 24 to 36 month contract, usually mandated to be on one of their most expensive premium monthly data plans.
And you usually have to port your existing number over too.
Right. They are willing to eat a $1,000 loss on the hardware because the long-term guaranteed monthly revenue of keeping you locked in their walled garden for 3 years is worth exponentially more.
Oh, for sure.
They are subsidizing the device to ensure they own your primary access point to the digital world.
It is the ultimate extension of the subscription model. You don't possess the device in any meaningful way until that contract is fulfilled. The corporation retains all the leverage.
Which is why this next story out of Brazil is such an incredible contrast.
I love this one.
So good. This is the everyday consumer actively fighting back against that corporate control. So on June 10th, 2026, a Brazilian gamer who goes by the Reddit handle at Ordo Liberal won a major lawsuit against Microsoft.
David and Goliath stuff.
Seriously. His Xbox account was hacked by a third party, and he lost access to his entire digital library of purchased games. He contacts Microsoft support, and their response was essentially, your account is compromised and locked. You'll just have to create a new one and rebuy all your digital games.
Which is the absolute nightmare scenario for anyone heavily invested in a closed digital ecosystem.
Totally. But the Brazilian court looked at Microsoft's response and firmly rejected it. They ordered Microsoft to fully restore the gamer's original account and ordered them to pay $400 in moral damages.
That's amazing.
They basically told one of the most powerful tech companies on Earth that they cannot just hide behind a terms of service agreement and wash their hands of a user's digital assets when their own platform security fails.
And this raises an important question about the very concept of ownership in 2026. The gaming industry is aggressively pushing toward an all-digital future.
Yeah, physical media is dying.
It is. Sony is actively removing physical disc drives from their console revisions. Currently, 65% of all video game sales globally are purely digital transactions.
But when you hit buy on a digital storefront, you aren't actually buying the game.
Nope.
You are purchasing a revocable license to play the game on their servers.
Hmm.
Building a massive digital library right now is like paying full market price to buy a house. But the deed you sign explicitly states the landlord can legally change the locks whenever they want.
It's completely one-sided.
Or bulldoze the property the second you stop paying your HOA fees. You have all the financial risk and none of the actual ownership.
And consumers are acutely aware of this vulnerability. The Tech Energy Report cites that 78% of gamers are actively terrified of losing access to their digital purchases.
I mean, I would be too.
Yeah. The total global value of gamers' digital libraries is currently estimated at $45 billion.
$45 billion.
Yes. That is an enormous amount of consumer wealth tied up in licenses that corporations claim they can revoke at any time for almost any reason.
That is why this Brazilian court ruling is a watershed moment for digital rights.
Hmm.
It legally proves that consumers aren't entirely powerless against the terms of service.
Exactly. And while a ruling in Brazil is, you know, only strictly enforceable within that jurisdiction, it acts as a highly visible global template.
It sets a precedent.
It demonstrates a viable legal pathway for consumer protection. It forces tech giants to recognize that as they consolidate power and push users toward entirely digital AI-driven ecosystems, the traditional legal system can still be leveraged to protect the individual's right to their purchased assets.
It can't just operate outside the law.
Right. It establishes that companies have a custodial duty to protect the digital libraries they profit from.
Well, we've covered an immense amount of complex ground today on this deep dive.
We really did.
We started at the highest levels of corporate maneuvering, watching Apple and OpenAI engage in a fierce legal battle over the brilliant human minds required to build our digital future.
The talent war.
Yeah. We followed the massive migration of institutional capital, watching money flow away from the passive holding of Bitcoin and into the active, power-hungry world of AI data centers.
Right. From gold to factory.
Exactly. We examined the mechanics of how that compute power is creating superhuman AI systems capable of mapping complex code execution to find 15-year-old vulnerabilities while simultaneously automating the reconnaissance phase of global cyber attacks.
A double-edged sword.
For sure.
Yeah.
And finally, we looked at the sheer one-sided leverage of corporate lock-in tactics contrasted against a lone Brazilian gamer fighting Microsoft in court to secure the fundamental right to own what he paid for.
It is a landscape defined by rapid systemic transformation. I mean, the architecture of our digital lives is being rewritten right now.
It is. And the most practical thing you can do to navigate it is to actively manage your footprint. Read the fine print on that free iPhone 17 contract before you sign away 3 years of your digital life.
Yes, please read it.
Go update your website plugins and physically break the automated attack chain by putting two-factor authentication on every single digital account you value.
Do not make it easy for the automated systems scanning the web. Protect your localized piece of the digital world.
But before we let you go, we want to leave you with a final puzzle to ponder, something that builds on the intersection of everything we've unpacked today.
Oh, this is a good one.
We've talked about AI's superhuman capabilities in generating and analyzing complex code. And we've talked about courts stepping in to force tech giants to recognize your legal ownership of digital games and assets.
Merging those two realities creates a fascinating frontier.
Exactly. Think about this. What happens in just a few years when the video games you play or the software tools you rely on are entirely generated by AI?
Generated in real time.
Right. Customized exclusively for your specific preferences, running on an AI-powered device. If an AI builds a digital asset from scratch, exclusively for your use, using physical hardware designed by Apple, powered by a massive language model trained by OpenAI, who actually owns the final product.
It's a legal nightmare.
Do you own it because you provided the customized prompts? Does the corporation own it because they built the underlying infrastructure? Or, in a fully automated future, does the AI own the rights to its own creation?
That's a million-dollar question.
Something to mull over as you navigate the digital world today. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.